This is episode number 881 with New York Times bestselling author Peter Diamandis.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Eleanor Roosevelt said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." And J. William Fulbright said, "We must dare to think unthinkable thoughts. We must learn to explore all the options and possibilities that confront us in a complex and rapidly changing world." Ooh-wee, I am excited about this interview. Man, we dive into all sorts of crazy ideas about the future, about what is possible for you in this ever-evolving, expanding, growing, technological, advancing world. And I am just, the whole time, I'm blown away and excited about what's possible. What once seemed impossible for your life and for your dreams and for your purpose is more possible now than ever. And if you don't know who Peter is, he is a leader, a game changer in the world. He's a New York Times bestselling author and the founder and executive chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation, which leads the world in designing and operating large-scale incentive competitions. He's also the executive founder of Singularity University, a graduate-level Silicon Valley institution that counsels the world's leaders on exponentially growing technologies. Peter has started over 20 companies in the areas of longevity, space, venture capital, and education. He is co-founder of Bold Capital Partners and co-founder and vice chairman of Cellularity, Inc., a cellular therapeutics company. And recently, he was named by Fortune as one of the world's 50 greatest leaders. He's got a new book. It's going to blow you away. It's called The Future is Faster Than You Think, and you can pre-order it right now. It comes out January 28, 2020. In this episode, we talk about finding your MTP, or massively transformative purpose, and establishing the moonshot ideas of your life. This could transform your life, just this one section in the interview alone. We talk about the four keys to longevity that will extend your lifespan if you commit to them. These are huge. The three powerful questions you can ask yourself to help find your passion. So if you're asking, what is my passion? What am I supposed to be doing? What's the next step for me? This is that section. How our future is changing extremely rapidly and how we can be empowered by it instead of scared of it. And why your mindset matters over everything else and how we should protect it and care for it at all odds. Get ready to have your mind blown. Peter is just changing the world with his research, with his companies, with his ideas, and with his book. Again, make sure to share this out with your friends, lewishowes.com/881. While you're listening, text someone who you think might be interested in this right now.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
And without further ado, let's dive into this interview and powerful, life-changing episode with the one and only Peter Diamandis. Welcome back to one of the School of Greatness podcast. We've got one of the biggest leaders in the world, Peter Diamandis. Good to see you, man. I'm happy that you're here.
Pleasure.
I've crossed paths with you for years and been in the same circles and know a lot of the same people. So I'm glad that we finally got you on here. And a lot of people have asked, when am I going to interview you? So I'm glad we finally had a time to...
Here I am.
to make it happen, to talk about the future is faster than you think. And I love that you just mentioned about your mission, that we fear what we don't know. And there's such a big industry in safety of the future, right? Of bomb shelters and creating all these, I don't know, materials and resources for when bad things might happen.
Yeah, we're living in a world that is fear-driven to a large extent, right? And there's a reason for this. As we were evolving millions of years ago, there were so many things that could kill us. And our brains evolved a part of the brain called the amygdala that looks and listens for all the dangers in your world. And this was evolutionarily beneficial, you know, centuries and millennia ago when we were under constant threat. And when you hear something negative, it puts you on red alert and you pay immediate attention, right? So you see like a rustle in the leaves and you think a tiger rather than the wind. You see a crack on the ground, you think snake rather than a stick.
You have to think the worst case scenario.
To save your life. It would save your life before. Now, what happens is our news media bombards us with negative news all the time, right? I laughingly call CNN the crisis news network or the constantly negative news network. I don't have a good version for Fox. But it is, we're living in a world where, listen, there are media companies whose mission it is to deliver your eyeballs to their advertisers. And if we pay 10 times more attention to negative news than positive news, that's what we're feeding. So I coach 360 CEOs every year at my abundance event right here in Beverly Hills and 5,000 entrepreneurs. And I'm saying, listen, at the end of the day, you know, run the experiment, pick up the newspaper tomorrow and count the number of positive stories to negative stories, right? It's like
maybe
10 to 1 negative to positive.
One out of them, yeah.
And it's not that... It's not true. I'm not saying this is, you know, fake news. What I'm saying is that there's so much amazingly positive news, you just don't hear about it because good news networks don't succeed. And so we're bombarded by this negative news, and it changes our mindset. Yeah. And it puts us in a state of fear. And fear is not a good place from which to live your life or make the world a better place.
Can you be creative from a place of fear and terror?
No, you're restrictive. You're scarcity minded. You're not creative and expansive, and you're looking to protect what you have versus create something new. And so a lot of my work at the XPRIZE, in Abundance 360, at Singularity University, in my books, are around helping people see the world a different way. We're living, arguably, during one of the most extraordinary times in human history. Today, an individual is more powerful than presidents were a few decades back.
Crazy,
more than the kings and the queens. We have access to more knowledge, energy, capital, computational power. People don't honestly know how powerful they are to make their dreams come true, to transform the world, to find a problem and solve a problem. Right? So I'm with the entrepreneurs that I support. I said, listen, stop complaining and start solving.
Go find a solution.
Because the world's biggest problems are the world's biggest business opportunities.
That's true.
Right? And I teach this throughout my programs, want to become a billionaire, help a billion people. Right? This beautiful convergence that we're so powerful and we can solve these problems. Not everything, but I think a good number of them.
Yeah. Now, isn't every generation or decade going to be the best time in the world moving forward? Like, 50 years from now, we're going to say, this is the greatest time in history because we have this technology, right?
Right. So that's what my first book, my first collaboration with Stephen Kotler, a dear friend for both of us, was about. I wrote a book called Abundance, The Future is Better Than You Think, right? And it shows us that for all of human history, the world has been getting better. If you measure the world by access to food, water, shelter, healthcare, education, knowledge, information, entertainment, all of these factors. Of course, there are issues around the environment. There are issues around all kinds of things. But we forget how much life was about survival, fundamental survival. In the holiday season, we think about gratitude and Thanksgiving and
giving,
all
and giving of gifts. There wasn't that.
It was like a millennia ago, it's like, can I live till tomorrow?
Isn't that crazy?
Right? Can I find food? My son or daughter are sick. What's going on? Can I get the right, you know, medicine man to help me, you know, figure this out? We're now worried about, oh man, you know, it's like I got to cut the grass, or I've got to, like, you know, I don't have enough time to see my soap opera, or the stuff that we're worried about today. We finally have the chance to take a break, a vacation from survival, and now we can think at a much higher level of how do I want to contribute, how do I make the world a better place, and that's an amazing place to be.
Now, was there ever a time in history that was actually better? That they had abundance mindset. I don't know, I'm thinking of like the Egyptians and the pyramids. Like, we've never figured out how they did those things. Like, was there ever a period of time that was like, man, it was a glorious time?
I think we will romanticize the past, but from almost all of human history, the way I describe human history, it was the king and the queen on the hilltop, or the pharaoh, whatever you want, and the rest of 99.99% of people in absolute squalor, working to try and make the king and the queen somewhat wealthy. But even if you think about it, the life of that king or queen 500 years ago doesn't compare to the poorest people here in LA, right? Who still have a cell phone, still have air conditioning, right. Still have access to an Uber, have access to all of these things, and a bathroom. I mean, the things that we take for granted now that would be miraculous just decades ago or hundreds of years ago. So people think about, my God, we've got an increasing wealth gap. We do. But on a different way to think about it, again, for all of human history, it was the have and the have-nots, right?
Lots of have-nots.
99.999%, and the few haves at the top of the hilltop in the castle, so to speak. And where we're moving to now is a world of a few haves and all these have-nots. To the work that I'm focused on is creating a world of haves. And yes, there will be super haves. Mm-hmm. But if we can create a world where every man, woman, and child has access to their basic needs, food, water, shelter, healthcare, education, all of these things, because we're dematerializing, demonetizing, and democratizing these things, right? And I'll come back to that. Yes, there will be those multi-billionaires living forever on Mars. But I'd rather have that world where we uplift, where every mother knows that her kid has access to all the health they need, all the education they need, the water, the food, the energy, and they can create, you know, they're living not a world of luxury, but a world of possibility.
Yeah, yeah. What is it that you think that limits us from thinking bigger? I feel like you're one of the leaders who thinks so much bigger than people's wildest dreams. Why are people limited in the way they think about what's possible for them?
That's a great question. And I think it is fundamentally a person's mindset. They don't give themselves, they don't allow themselves to think at that scale.
What holds us back from allowing, even fantasizing for a moment of a big dream?
And I think it's really ultimately giving yourself that permission and allowing and getting the tools you need and getting examples in your life of other people who have. It's safer not to dream big, because to dream big is very risky. It's risky because people, A, will think you're crazy, or B, will hold you to your moonshots and then, you know, criticize you when you fail. And I think, but we can now we're living in a very different age where your ability to have a vision of something significant and big, and this is what my second book, Bold, was about, how to go big, create wealth, and impact the world, was saying, listen, we're living in a time right now where you can have a big idea and you can test and iterate very rapidly until you find the right product market fit. And things can scale. You know, we're going from I've got an idea to I run a billion-dollar company faster than any time in human history. There are more unicorns than ever before because there's more capital than ever before. And entrepreneurs can come up with an idea and test it
quickly.
And fail it quickly or iterate different versions of it quickly. And that's an amazing time. And so it's never been better to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I talk about this in all the work I do when I'm working with people. I say, first and foremost, it's critically important for you to get clarity on your, what I call your massively transformative purpose. What are you on this planet to do?
Mm.
Doing anything big and bold is hard work.
It's all hard work.
We get this incredible fantasy of what it was like to be Jeff Bezos or be Elon Musk or be, you know,
Zuckerberg,
all these guys. And the fact of the matter is, we think it's easy. We think it's like start at idea and go straight to $1 billion valuation, but it's not. There are incredibly difficult times along the road, right? There is this period of launch your idea and then on the doorstep of death over and over and over again,
right. And
not giving up. I joke that a lot of my most successful ventures are overnight successes after 11 years of hard work.
Yeah.
Right? I know Elon well, and looking at what he did with Tesla and with SpaceX is extraordinary, but it was hard. It's still hard. And it was on, he tells the stories of being on the brink of bankruptcy, on the brink of running out of capital, and it was his sheer fortitude, right? The team at Airbnb, they iterated their idea hundreds of times to get something that works. And so, but it's possible now as an entrepreneur, where before you would, failure was a death knell. Today it's experience.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to fail multiple times in order to have the credibility, the experience to grow. Explain what a moonshot is for those who maybe don't know what it is, define it. How many moonshots have you declared and said, I'm doing this?
Yeah.
How many of them actually happened or close to happening, and how many failed?
Yeah, so fair question. So I mentioned massively transformative purpose. Let me touch
what
on
is
that.
So
an MTP is something I work with all of my entrepreneurs and CEOs around, get clarity around what's your purpose in life. You could have an MTP for yourself, for your family, for your company. And it needs to be something that you have an emotional connection with, that lights you up, it gets you excited. It can come from a place of absolute love. Like, I so want this to exist. I so am excited about creating this. It can come from a place of sheer pain. Yeah. It can come from a place like, this should not exist on the planet. I'm going to solve this problem, right? But it has to have a kind of emotional energy. You and I both know Tony Robbins, and emotion is a fundamental driver for human greatness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so getting that MTP, right? So I've had three over my life, one Meta,
and they can evolve.
They can change over time. You can have one for a year, for 5 years, and find something else you connect with. Early on, it was making the Earth a multiplanetary species, the humanity multiplanetary species. How do I open up space? Right, because I grew up on Apollo and Star Trek. Right, Apollo showed us what was possible. Star Trek showed us where the world was going.
Right,
and that lit me alive, that drove me, and that is really, and I've started a dozen space companies over the years really to make those happen. My next one was solving the world's grand challenges, and that gave birth to the XPRIZE and Singularity University. How do we positively impact the lives of a billion people? Because that's now possible. As an entrepreneur, I don't care where you live, you're connected to the global economy by the web, massive capabilities, access to capital on crowdfunding and venture funding and all of this, you can, an individual has the potential, if they desire, to to impact the lives of a billion people on the planet.
Yeah.
That's the first time ever that we live in that world.
Yeah, because we have scale now with our resources,
massive
with
scale.
Our reach, with distribution,
right.
Everything. Yeah.
So one can set that goal. So
that's a goal of yours as well?
So my second...
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate. Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
MTP, and I sort of maintained the first and built on the second, was using technology to impact the world's grand challenges. And that gave birth to the XPRIZE, where we've launched about $200 million in prizes. Another $200 million are in development for solving some of the world's biggest grand challenges. And when a team competes for an XPRIZE, they actually have to do it. They have to build it and demonstrate it, and then they get the money from the prize, but they keep the IP, and their goal is to develop and build this business.
Expand it, yeah.
And then Singularity University, which I co-founded with Ray Kurzweil, is really around helping entrepreneurs get access to exponential technologies, computation, sensors, AI, robotics, 3D printing, synthetic biology, augmented virtual reality, blockchain, quantum computing. All of these technologies are openly available if you want to use them, can apply them. Mm-hmm. But these are all technologies that allow us to make our impact scale to a millionfold, a billionfold.
Right.
And my latest area, MTP, has been around extending the healthy human lifespan. So
longevity.
Longevity of a healthy longevity.
Like suffering, but living forever.
Yeah.
But
it's how do you, and so I said a very simple first moonshot within that area. So I think about an MTP as the canvas you want to paint on. Like, this is the area I want to have an impact on. And a moonshot is a very specific goal on that canvas. So in the near term, I'm focused on how do I add 30...
So, for example, you want to impact a billion lives in a positive way. Is the overall...
Could be the overall canvas, your
canvas,
MTP, right?
But then the moonshot is
very
longevity.
Specific. So a moonshot is very specific. It's like numbers. Within 10 years, I want to do this thing to these many people and make this impact. So
in the
longevity space, I'm focused on how do I add 30 healthy years so that we have the aesthetics, we look good, the cognition, we're thinking clearly, and the mobility, we're moving clearly, we have strength in our movement at 100 that you had like at 60, right? So how do you make 100 years old and you 60? And so I spend a lot of time as an entrepreneur investing in that area, building companies in that area. Tony Robbins and I are writing our next book called Life Force on that topic that'll come out in 2021. And because it's possible. The breakthroughs that are coming out right now that are in phase one, phase two, phase three clinical trials are extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I think we're really going to create a bump up in healthy...
In lifespan.
So it's about health span, right? How do you remain healthy and vibrant? No one wants to live in a wheelchair, depends.
what do you think that we could get to with the technology and resources we have right now? What can someone who's alive right now get to?
Yeah, I think that what's
kind of healthy.
Yeah, I think this decade, right, 2020 through 2030, that we're going to see a minimum of a 10-year addition to our lifespan. Mm. I think we can probably get 20, and I'm shooting for 30.
Wow.
But here's what's so important for people to realize, that we're living in a period of rapid exponential growth. Where all of these technologies are doubling in power every 18 to 24 months.
Mm.
What we're seeing in AI, combined with quantum computing, combined with CRISPR and gene therapy and genome sequencing and all of these things, I think are going to enable us to understand aging as a disease, not as an inevitability.
Really?
Yeah. So... So
we've all had a disease our entire life.
Well, so here's a question, right? When I was in medical school, I was doing a joint MD-PhD program. I ended up, after the medical degree, I stopped the PhD and just got a master's because I was like, no one's going to call me doctor. So, I remember watching this TV show on long-lived sea life, that on Earth, certain species of sharks and whales and turtles can live 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 700 years.
No way.
Yeah. And
really?
So the question, like the Greenland shark has a 500-year lifespan.
What?
Yeah, and
how do they even track that?
You know, they have by looking at sharks that have harpoons still in them you can carbon date back 400 years back.
Holy cow.
Stuff like that, yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. But at the end, why can they and why can't we? Mm. And I remember thinking, it's either a hardware problem or a software problem. And we're beginning to understand that. There's an amazing book by a friend, Dr. David Sinclair at Harvard, who runs the Longevity Institute there. The book just came out called Lifespan. I commend it to everybody. And he talks about the information aging theory, information theory of aging. And he believes, and he's brilliant, that we're entering a time where not only can we slow aging or stop aging, that the technology potentially exists to reverse aging.
Wow. And completely. Live hundreds of years.
So here's, right, my mission.
Forever.
My mission and that for all of us should be to live as long a healthy life as we can. And as we do that, we will intercept more and more treatments and technology. The world is not standing still, right? So it's still, I mean, honestly, when people say, well, what should I do? My answers are still sleep.
Yeah.
You need you need seven at least, you know, I target 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
As much as I've gotten to the point where I respect sleep more than ever. There's an amazing another book called Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Mm-hmm. Beautiful book. And the importance of sleep. You know, human nature or nature would have evolved sleep away if it was possible, right? If a human species could live on less sleep, you'd be more productive.
Yeah.
You know, believe me, it's necessary. So sleep, eating right, and for me, that's a vegan diet, yeah, right? So good.
How long have you been vegan for?
About 3 years, thereabouts.
Yeah, wow.
And I think the evidence is damn strong. And, you know, listen, it's not religious for me. I'll have some scrambled eggs or a piece of fish once in a while. The third is exercise, for sure.
Yeah.
And then the fourth is mindset. Mm. You know, if you're excited about being alive, then you're going to live a life of purpose and meaning and contribution.
And build healthy relationships,
yeah,
and have community, which...
And community is so critically important.
Yeah.
So all these things, on top of those are what you need to do today. On top of those, there are a multitude of amazing pharmaceutical, biotech technologies.
Stem cells and the...
Yeah, stem cells, Wnt pathway manipulation, senolytic medicines, a whole slew of things that are in different stages of clinical trials.
Are you trying some of these yourself or...?
Some. But at the end, I think these are going to come online over the next 3 to 5 to 10 years. So like I tell my friends, it's critically important for you to stay
healthy,
yeah, right? Don't die from something stupid over the next 10 years. You can intercept these capabilities.
Really?
Yeah, so...
And it'll probably start off extremely expensive, and then it'll be affordable for the masses.
Like every technology is, right? The first cell phones cost $1 million and worked really shitty, right? And then now they're $40 and they work amazing, and everybody on the planet's got one.
Yeah.
And that's the normal process of technology. And so my MTPs have been opening up the space frontier, you know, positively impacting 1 billion people, aka solving the world's grand challenges, and now extending the healthy human lifespan. And those become sort of what I think about, what I'm passionate about, and where I start my companies, make my investments, and where I write about. And a lot of those are in my next book, The Future is Faster Than You Think, because that's what I pay attention to. I spend my world and my life tracking the amazing tech developments and what do those mean across every industry? What do those mean for us as parents, as entrepreneurs, as humans?
And how does one start to, because a lot of people will come to me and say, how do I discover my passion? How do I know what my mission is? And what's the process? You said there's something from a pain or something from a love.
So I'll give you
a creative process for people to do that, whether they've had it once and now they lost their mission, they're looking for something new.
So I've got a community called my Abundance Digital Community. It's a community of entrepreneurs that I coach every day, every week. I work with them on finding their MTP.
Yeah.
And some of the tricks is to say, listen, what did you want to do when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Before the world, your teachers, your parents told you couldn't do. Because you can make a career out of anything. And what do you bring this childlike amazement to the world, right? So you're like on fire, you're a kid. I love this, right? It's like, It's like, I love my life. I truly do in so many different dimensions because I'm playing all the time, right? So that's the first thing I'll chat with my my entrepreneurs around. The second thing is, if I were to give you $1 billion and said, listen, I want you to make the world a better place. You've got $1 billion to spend. You can't spend it on yourself. Nothing frivolous. Make the world a better place. What would you do with it? And you can educate. You can help different groups around the world. You can make people healthier. You can stop poaching. Whatever it is, right? What areas light you up? And third, who do you want to be a hero to? Right? Who do you want to be a hero to? Who do you want to make proud of you?
Yeah.
Is it entrepreneurs? Is it young women? Is it old people? Is it your heritage? What is that? And so these are questions that one can ask to get some reflection. And then I'm saying, okay, within those questions, find something. Find something that is an experiment. Write down a massively transformative purpose, right? So my overall MTP that I will say to myself every day in the shower, every morning, or in two or three times a day, right? I will say, listen, I see, hear, feel, and know that the purpose of my life is to inspire and guide the transformation of humanity on and off the earth, right? So I am about inspiring people.
Like that.
And guiding people. Wow. We're going to create a transformation of the human race, where we are in the midst of this massive transformation as exponential technologies are accelerating. And we're going to be creating this transformation on and off the earth. And my mission is inspiring and guiding entrepreneurs to make the world a better place. Right? I think entrepreneurs, leaders are all about finding and solving problems. And the more entrepreneurs finding problems, solving problems, the more problems get solved, the world gets better. So find an MTP statement that you can write down, memorize, you know, inspire and guide the transformation of humanity on and off the earth. The off the earth plays to the 9-year-old kid in me, right? Because that's
your dream.
That's my dream. And so inspiring and guiding is what I love to do on the stage, in the world, wherever it might be. And then try out your MTP, share it with your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, kids, whatever it is, to the people that you're most embarrassed to share it with, and see how it feels in your heart, right? You have to be able to say it proudly, consistently, without reservation, and because it then becomes guiding you as to where you go, what you do or don't do. It becomes a clear, bright line about this is inside of it, this is not.
Have you ever doubted yourself?
Of course.
And when do you have those moments of doubt?
So the bigger you go, the greater your moonshots, the more the doubt mounts. And at the end, you have to accept that failure is an option. Otherwise, you're stuck in incrementalism. Right, I teach this, and I say, listen, the day before something is truly a breakthrough, it's a crazy idea. Right, so if you're trying to create something and it's not a crazy idea for most everybody else, it's not going to be a breakthrough. It'll be an expected small incremental improvement. Like if people say, yeah, sure, of course, you know, you can increase your sales by 10% or 20%. I think you can work harder. You can do the right thing. But if I said, listen, I'm going to 10x increase by 1,000%, or I'm going to create something. It's like, that's a crazy notion. And in order for you to really drive a breakthrough, you have to be willing to step over the line into crazy and not know how you're going to get there. Wow. Right?
How do we figure out the knowing?
So I think ultimately you have to get to a point of, is it impossible? Meaning, am I disobeying the laws of physics here, right?
Right.
Is there some evidence to show that this is possible? It doesn't have to be direct evidence, but someone else in a different area has done something of the same scale, or there's some analogy, right? There's something to say that this is possible. I don't know how to get there. I'm not 100% sure I can. But the fact that these things have done something similar gives me the belief that I can. There's a fundamental belief, and now I just have to figure it out. Right? So in bold, I tell the stories for Richard Branson and Larry Page and Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, and look at sort of billionaire thinking at scale. And it's from a fundamental perspective, each of them have their own leap of faith, right? And it's kind of crazy, and yet you create the future, right? I have a whole set of Peter's laws, and one of them is the best way to predict the future is create it yourself, uh-huh. right? And right. we create the future all the time, but it's hard.
It's really hard.
It's friggin' hard.
Everyone's against you, except for maybe a few people, right?
And it's like the chances of success are potentially low. And so how do you, it has to be something you're sufficiently willing to pursue. The energy has to be there, right? So a few of my ventures, like Zero Gravity Corporation, which we used parabolic flights to fly Stephen Hawking and so many people, and the XPRIZE Foundation, I mean, they were decadal-long problems, and the companies crashed and burned, you know, dozens of times. There were hundreds of no's. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's like my energy. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, looking literally myself in the mirror and saying, I refuse to give up.
Wow.
And that kind of energy is what it takes to keep going.
How do you not doubt yourself for the next big moonshot then? If you see something fail and everyone says no, how do you continue to say, I believe in this idea?
Yeah.
I believe in myself. This is, you know, possible.
It has to be, ultimately, fundamentally, it has to come from your heart and your soul. It has to be something that it's worth risking yourself on.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way, ultimately, it's also, we don't start way up here. You know, you don't go from A to Z. It's like, you know, your first 10X can be from A to B, and then B to C and C to D. And the more, you know, successes you have, this is the life of an entrepreneur, right? When I teach entrepreneurs about raising capital or starting companies and so forth, it is call your shot of something you're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
Have people watch you make that happen. And then they'll invest in you to take your next shot and your next shot and your next shot. So I write about this in bold, where I created a space university. I created a university when I was about 28 years old, which is now a beautiful multi-$100 million university in Strasbourg, France, that teaches all the top space leaders around the planet. And it was my first step was I held a conference to study the idea of it, mm-hmm. found my co-founders. The next step was we held a summer program. We borrowed the campus of MIT. The next step was we repeated that. And finally, we held an international global competition for a campus in Strasbourg, France, won that competition.
Wow.
Anyway, it was just...
So it was a process over a decade.
And that's okay, especially as our lives get longer.
We've got more time. And sometimes the impossible are going to take longer than a few years to reaching this big moonshot. It's going to take potentially decades, maybe not as long, but... It's going to take time, right?
And if you love what you're doing, if this is truly your massively transformative purpose, you will learn and you will grow. And even if you fail, you will have an amazing time.
And you've loved it.
You've loved it.
You love the experience, the people you got to meet, the things you got to learn.
Yeah.
Huh. So when you face doubt, what do you say to yourself to help you get back on track, to be confident and poised?
I think I go back to the fundamentals of why this is important to me. I connect with the emotional energy. It's like, I'm so lucky to be working on this, right? This is the kid inside me. This is possible. There is someone out there in the world who will capitalize this or who will provide that technology. And I think ultimately, if I can't survive that doubt, then maybe this is not the right thing for me doing.
Mm.
If the energy isn't there, then I need to reevaluate if this is the thing for me.
Right, your vision and You said you have two boys, right? Eight-year-old boys.
And they're fraternal twins, yes.
Did anything shift in you? Because I don't have any kids.
Yeah.
I've got an amazing relationship, but don't have any kids yet.
Yet.
Did anything shift in you in your thinking process of, I need to think bigger when your two boys were born, or I need to be a little more cautious. I need to like play a little bit, like maybe the moonshot can be like a, I don't know.
I think
atmosphere
I
shot.
I had the
cloud shot.
Yeah. So I had the boys later in my life, so I had gotten some of the sort of the fundamentals. I mean, listen, I respect
the fact— You made money, you're safe, you had credibility.
Yeah, I built a little bit of credibility and had some capital and so forth. Not as much as anybody necessarily wants, but at the end of the day, it really hasn't changed my life that much other than my priorities. So I prioritize spending time with them a lot more. And I can do that given where I am in life right now, where I'm calling the shots of my companies, and when I start my day and end my day is up to me and not somebody else. But and so I love seeing the world through their eyes, and I think about the world through their eyes, right? So, they're 8 years old, and I just spent, the last year and a half working on this book, The Future is Faster Than You Think, looking at the next decade and the next 50 years, but focusing on the next decade in the fields of reinventing education, transportation, entertainment, healthcare, finance, food, real estate, energy, all of these fields, and they're going to live a very different life. And I don't think people realize how fast the world is changing. You know, we humans don't like change. We like to wake up in the morning and know that the world is the same as it was the night before. But the world is changing faster. In fact, I've got an entire chapter in the book called The Acceleration of the Acceleration.
Wow.
That the rate at which technology is accelerating is itself accelerating. And we're heading towards a world where things are going to change at a blinding speed. And
because when did the iPhone even come out? The first
12 years ago.
12 years ago.
Right.
And 2007. And look what we've done in 12 years.
Yeah, and it's incredible where the tech has gone. So some of the stuff that's going to be happening in that same time frame looking forward, I write a lot about AI, hopefully in a way that people can understand, appreciate, easy to really apply to their lives. But Ray Kurzweil's prediction is that within a decade, by 2029, we're going to have human-level AI. So what happens when everything in our world is smart? Everything in the world is smart. The kids' toys, the kitchen, you're talking. We have a version of Alexa and Google Home and Apple HomePod and all of these things, which are the earliest days. But very soon, the world's going to become automatic and magical, where you walk in and the world is adapting itself to you.
They're having conversations with you. Yeah, they're asking you questions.
We're all going to have a version of Jarvis. Remember Jarvis from Iron Man?
It's crazy.
And so where you're going to give permission to your AI to listen to your conversations, read your emails, look at your blood chemistries, all of those things. Because when you do that, your AI is presenting you all the information just in time. Like, when's the last time we met? What's your birth date? Where all of that. It's like if you walk in and your AI is judging you as a little bit depressed, it may change the music
and the lighting.
And they bring up a television show that is the comedy from your latest, your favorite Adam Sandler movies, whatever it is. And ultimately, it's about making your world is going to adapt to you versus you adapting to your world. Your AI is doing all your shopping for you. Nothing's ever out. And
everything's automated.
And it impacts all kinds of industries. So if AI is doing a shopping for you, buying things that it knows you need, or it was watching where you looked and you spent a few extra moments focusing on someone's shoes and it knows you liked it because it can tell your heart rate went up and you had sort of you're fixated an extra tenth of a second on that. And then you go all of a sudden, a pair of shoes show up. You go, oh, that's so nice. Thank you for those shoes.
Wow.
But all of a sudden, there's no longer advertising. Advertising is about influencing you,
right?
Advertising is not going to influence your AI.
Wow.
So a lot of change is coming across the world. And so my kids probably will never drive.
Wow.
Right? They're going to be living in a world where autonomous cars are de facto for them. They're going to hop in the car and take me to Billy's house, and it takes you off. And that car is safer than any human driver. And we're living in a world in which energy is ubiquitous and basically abundant, available water, food, energy. This is the way it's going. We forget how fast the world has changed, right? The fact that today you can know anything you want. right? I mean, you just
hey Siri.
Hey Siri, exactly.
Tell me this.
Right? You can talk to anybody. You can download and watch a movie running through the airport. We forget how amazing the world is, right? It's magical today.
It's magic.
Yeah, and it's just getting more and more. I moved a year and a half ago. I remember moving my old one house to another house. I opened the desk drawer and I had like six old iPhones and Pixel, Google Pixel phones in my drawer. And I'm like, what am I gonna do with these? Am I gonna donate them, whatever? Each one of those would have been a CIA or KGB secret they would have killed for, you know, 20 years ago. And now we think nothing of them.
Disposed, trash,
yeah.
Goodwill, whatever.
Exactly.
Does the future make us dumber or smarter with the acceleration of technology?
So
if everything is done for us, do we even have to think?
Yeah, so it's a good question. And I think the answer is we're empowered to think at newer levels, at higher levels.
Bigger problem solving,
following our dreams. Most people on the planet are in a job because that's how they feed their family. That's how they get insurance. It wasn't their dream. They didn't grow up wanting to, you know, dig ditches or stock boxes or clean bathrooms, whatever the case might be. It was what was available for them to get food on the table or get insurance. And imagine a world in which everyone can educate to whatever level they want, where we separate working for income from working for pleasure, desire, contribution. I also think one of the things I talk about extensively in the book is a world of in which we're going to head to a point where you can know anything you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want. Let me double click on this. So by 2020, by the end of next year, we're going to have 20 billion connected devices, right? My Apple Watch, my Aura Ring, I've got a little embedded RFID chip over here, my phone, all these things are connected. And we're also going to head to a world of a trillion sensors, right? So there's sensors everywhere. In this room alone,
TV, the lights, the cameras,
all these cameras. We've got probably 100 sensors, if not a couple hundred sensors within a few meters of us right here.
Wow.
But it goes a step further. We're heading towards a world by 2030 of 100 trillion sensors, where everything is being measured all the time. Everything is being seen. A single autonomous car going down the road has got, you know, is taking in gigabits of data, right?
It's thousands of sensors on it.
It's seeing everything. That's one autonomous car. You know, thousands of autonomous cars are seeing everything. Our forward-looking augmented reality glasses that we're going to be wearing, drones and satellites. So we're heading towards a world where you can ask a crazy question like, hey, what's the average color of a man's blouse on Madison Avenue today?
And know
that answer in a moment. And then you can go on to say, was there any kind of an advertising campaign that correlates with that particular dress or blouse or suit, whatever it is? And so we're heading towards a future in which it's more important to ask great questions than what you know. And so when I drop my kids off at school, I say to them, and they will roll their eyes at me now because of this, but they'll say, ask great questions today. And what questions did you ask? Right? And I talk to CEOs and entrepreneurs and I say, listen, it's the questions you ask, not what you know. So why didn't Avis and Hertz ask the questions that would have led to Uber or Lyft, right? Why didn't Intercontinental and Hyatt and Hilton say, how do we double the number of rooms we have without spending any dollars on CapEx, right? So learning to ask crazy questions creates incredible opportunities. So for my 8-year-olds, I think we're going back to that root of the question. I think about the amazing world they're living into, that all of these things are changing, that less important what they learn, but they learn how to learn, that they learn to be empathic individuals, that they learn how to tell great stories, that they learn how to connect with their emotions, that they learn how to ask great questions. It's not how you find the least common denominator.
Here's a question for you. This might be weird, but okay. This might be weird. But if you're able to semi-predict the future of longevity,
yeah,
and there are potential parents listening who are wanting to have kids,
yeah,
and you said, you know what, if you just waited an extra this many years, your kid would actually live 50 years longer or something longer. If you actually waited for them to actually be born, they would have a greater chance of living 30 years longer or 10 years longer.
Is this the conversation with your girlfriend?
No, I'm just like, just curious. I'm just having, like, you said, ask different questions.
So,
like,
so I'll give you,
know, should we wait 5 years?
I'll give you that. So right now, I think kids born today potentially have an indefinite lifespan.
Today, gotcha.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, we're seeing incredible forward progress.
Wow.
Anybody who is pregnant or plans to be pregnant in the near term, I have one piece of advice, which is you should bank your child's placenta. So
don't give it away to the hospital and let them sell it to some stem cell guy in Panama.
So in all seriousness,
right?
So I banked my kid's placenta, and full disclosure, one of my companies I co-founded is a company called Cellularity,
right?
And it has a division called Life Bank USA, and it is in the business of banking placentas.
Right.
Now, up until now, what has happened is we have done. People have known about cord blood, where you save the blood from the umbilical cord. And that is useful from the perspective of, knock on wood, or any other tradition you want, your child should have a lymphoma, hematological cancer of some type. That cord blood contains the original stem cells from your bone marrow. And what you can do is you can irradiate the child, wipe out their bone marrow, and then give back their stem cells to repopulate their bone marrow and get rid of the cancer.
Wow.
And so this is viable, and people bank cord blood for the first 18 years of the kids, and it saved thousands of kids' lives.
Wow.
But there's another step before that. I think of the placenta as the 3D printer that manufactures the baby, right? The placenta is the organ that supplies all the cells to create all of the tissues and organs that make your baby. And that placenta is got the original, it's the boot disc.
And so recreated essentially.
You can, the placental cells are gonna give you the ability later in life to regrow a heart, liver, lung, kidney,
wow.
Right?
So we're it's a 3D printer for your body.
And so I for the time being right now, saving a child's placenta, there may be other companies, but lifebankusa.com is one. At the end, for me, it's like a moral and ethical obligation. If you can afford it, you should.
How much does it cost us to bank up the center for a year?
You know, it's in the order of $1,000 to $2,000 to do the initial banking, and then it's like $100 or $200 a
year.
I
have a friend whose wife is being induced tonight at 2 a.m. Can he do that?
Yeah, let me just, so.
You have the pricing here. My friend is literally having, he texted me right before he walked and said.
Placental tissue, it's $2,200 for a one-time payment. So
a couple grand for a couple of grand.
Adding placental tissue. So that's for a one time payment.
If he wanted,
and then a multiple time payment.
How does someone have, if they have a baby tonight? Is it possible to gift him this or?
Oh shit! I have no idea.
Is it too late?
I don't know. But they can go.
I can tell them to save the placenta.
Lifebank USA. USA.com is the website. Anyway, my point simply being, I don't want to be selling this on the show. It's, I just feel like there are, we're heading towards a magical world, right, in longevity for ourselves, for our children. And I think one of the things that's amazing for women is there's been this extraordinary pressure on women to choose between career and family. Because I have to, you know, have a baby by age
35,
right? And then, of course, there's this mythology because of in Hollywood where you can have a baby till 45, and it's bullshit. You start having difficulties after age 35. But there are technologies now for banking unfertilized eggs, easily banking fertilized eggs. There's also technology for using stem cells to repopulate the ovary for additional eggs that's being worked on. And I think it's a blessing for women because this is truly the century forward for women taking leadership roles. Men have screwed up enough.
Right.
But to empower them to like build a career, create their desires, and have a family without having to sacrifice health. Yeah.
Do you feel like in the future when these trillions of sensors are there providing us information, giving us the answers to how many people are driving on Santa Monica Boulevard right now, to however men are wearing certain colors.
Yeah.
anything we want at any moment. How many people are in the building right now? All these different things. To the point where we're safe, we have resources. Will that still, in my mind, there are already people today who are super lazy when they have a baseline. So when they have an abundance of everything available, will that make people more hungry or less desire? It's like the kid, it's like when you have a rich parent who's got kids, it's like, how do you get the hunger inside of them?
You know, I've seen both, you know, and I think we all know kids of successful parents who are spoiled and lazy and kids who are incredibly hungry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure that, I think that when we are heading towards a world where we can make almost anything happen, in a world in which we have access to all of the capital and technology we need, it's really connecting with a purpose in life that is the most important thing. Because if you've got a meaningful purpose, if you're excited about life, then ultimately...
You'll be hungry.
You'll be hungry,
yeah.
Right? And what we can do is much, much greater. I mean, the ability to think about and talk about the shit that we talk about today, living on Mars, extending the healthy human lifespan. I mean, it's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I love that you ask your kid, your boys, to ask great questions every day. What's one or two questions that we could all ask ourselves or ask someone else every single day that will help us improve our life?
So, I mean, for me, it's when I go to sleep at night, I think about what are the three things I'm most grateful for today. Right? And they're never about some business deal. Yeah. It's always about the moment I spent with my kids or the way I had a chance to touch somebody's life, or when someone said, Peter, I love your work. I read this, or I'm part of your organization here, whatever it is. And that's like a meaning, you know, it's like, wow, I let that rarely, but sometimes can let that touch me. So it's the end of the day that in the morning, it's what are the three most important things I should do today, right? That if I do these things today, it will be a great day. Mm. So it's, you know, those are for me things that I do. And ultimately, there's one fundamental question, and I do this with all the CEOs I work with. Do you know what your massively transformative purpose is? Do you know why you're on this planet? Do you know the purpose of what your mission is today? It can have just materialized yesterday, it can be from your childhood, whatever it is, but do you know that? Are you connected to that? And if you're not, then I would posit it's one of the most important things you can do.
To get
crystal clarity of what it is that drives you, right? So for me, it's what I work with my entrepreneurs around. And even, it's amazing, I have this Singularity University.
I hear amazing things which brings friends who go there all the time.
Yeah, incredible things, right? And half of the class, we run graduate programs, we run executive programs, Abundance 360 is the highest tier part of that. And I'll ask, ask in the positive, how many people here are crystal clear about what their MTP is in life? And less than half the arms will go up.
And these are the leaders of the world.
Right. Yeah. And they're working on, you know, they're running on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. And they're working faster and harder, but it's unclear towards what end.
For what purpose?
For what purpose? Right. Wow. And so I think once you get that, it will help you decide what you should and should not do.
Yeah.
Those are
still gonna be hard. It's not gonna be easy.
Oh no! But even if you fail along the way, you are learning. You are advancing in some way, right? You don't have to actually hit the grand slam home run. But if you move the conversation forward in your community, in your own mind, you're helping achieve that.
Yeah. Is there anything missing in your life? And what is that?
Wow. I think it's probably focus. We had this conversation. It's probably the notion that I'm on my 22nd company, working. This is my third book. I've got number 4 and 5 coming out, mm-hmm. and the experiment I haven't done is like stop and do one thing.
If you were forced to eliminate everything but one thing,
yeah.
for 5 years,
yeah, invite me back next year.
You got too many CEOs you're working with in companies you run, so you couldn't make a decision of what you would.
No, it is tough. It is hard for me. I love what I do so much, and I love the art. For me, entrepreneurship is an art form. Yeah, I love the creative energy.
It's a challenge. It's so many. You have so many opportunities. You get to work with the biggest leaders in the world. Everyone wants to partner with you on something. Yeah. How do you choose?
So it goes back to
does it support the mission?
Yeah, it goes back to the MTP, and it goes back to an honest evaluation: is am I excited about it? Do I really honestly feel excited about it? Because I'm at a point in my life where I should only do those things that I'm excited about.
Yeah,
and I have an amazing team around me who help protect me in that regard. Mm-hmm. And they'll call bull on me.
They say no to these. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll say, listen, no.
Focus. It's like, we've got this to do right now.
And I respect that because I'm, you know, on a treadmill of wanting to help people, wanting to say, yes, I can do that. I can take that red eye. I can go squeeze this in. And the other thing that's interesting is as a dad of 2 8-year-olds, I trade everything against time with them. So it's like, if I do this, is it trading against time with them? Mm-hmm. And so that's really an interesting.
You talk about the future, but do you ever think it's possible to go into the past and get time back?
No, of course not. I talk a lot about the idea of creating abundance. Let me take a moment and talk about this because it's a fundamental precept of the future is faster than you think. So we're going from a world of scarcity to a world of abundance. And people say, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, your cell phone is giving you access to an abundance of information. You can know any information you want, right? Never was the case before. Your cell phone is giving you an abundance of communication. You can talk to anybody on the planet instantly by just, you know,
push of a
single button. We're heading towards a world where we have an abundance of energy, going from scarcity of energy to abundance of energy. So think about it. Hundreds of years ago, we used to go and kill whales on the ocean to get whale oil to light our nights, right? Then we ravaged mountainsides for coal. Then we started drilling kilometers under the ocean floor for oil. And you know, the cost of coal is 5 to 6 cents per kilowatt hour. The cost of solar today, unsubsidized in South America, is under 2 pennies. It's 1.75 cents. We're heading towards under a penny per kilowatt hour. So we're heading towards a world, you know, we have 6,000 times more energy, 6,000 times more energy that hits the surface of the earth than we consume as a species in a year. So there's plenty of energy. It's just not usable form.
We're not consuming it yet.
Right?
We're not packaging it yet.
And we are heading rapidly towards a world where we have all the energy we want from the sun. And that's putting aside all the amazing tech work and fusion that's going on.
And algae and all these other things, yeah.
But we're also living in a world where the sunniest countries, or I say the poorest countries in the world, are the sunniest countries in the world. Right?
Really?
And so if you think about that. Well, just because of the heat of the equator and so forth. I mean, South and Central America, Africa, Middle East, all of those countries are super sunny, and they've got the lowest GDP economies, but they're going to be able to get all the energy they need.
All of it.
And so in almost every single area, food, energy, water, healthcare, education, we're heading towards a world of abundance. And the reason that we're creating more and more abundance isn't just better politics, isn't we're lucky, it's the impact of these technologies, right? Technology takes whatever was scarce and makes it abundant over and over again. I mean, you want to throw out a topic and I'll show you a scarcity to abundance?
Any topic?
You can pick any area that you think is scarce.
Well, first thing that came to mind was female leaders.
Okay. But let's talk about...
You're talking about like resource, like...
So, you know, I think one of the things that we can think about is we can think about leaders, we can think about even genius on the planet. Uh-huh. And so it used
to... But now it's abundant. Everyone's a genius.
Well,
sense, right?
But I think the point I want to make there is it used to matter where you were born, what family you were born into, what language you spoke. All those things limited your ability.
The school you went to, yeah.
As a woman, as a human, right? If you were born into the wrong religion, the wrong culture, and the wrong village that wasn't near a school or a telephone, you didn't have the chance to become a bright light. Mm-hmm. And so we're now heading towards a world where, you know, in the next 6 years, we're going to be connecting every single human on the planet at gigabit connection speed. So you could self-educate and become a connected leader, male, woman, you know, whatever religion, whatever ethnic group. You could rise to the highest level of your ability in this connected ecosystem, because technology gives you the platform to do that. And so these things, you know, one of the examples people say is, well, diamonds are scarce. And that's BS. Diamonds are not scarce. There's an amazing company up in the valley I speak about called the Diamond Foundry. Has a machine about the size of a refrigerator. In one end comes water, methane, electricity. At the other end comes perfect diamonds.
No way.
Yeah, 6, 8, 10 carat diamonds.
Shut up.
20 carat diamonds. If you'd like imperfections, they can add that. You
no
want color,
way.
You can add that. So
Wow. We're
creating abundance, even time. Right? So people say, well, time is scarce. Yes, time is scarce. But if you wanted to learn some information before, you'd have to go and get in your car, drive to the library, hope they have the book, you know, and then
there are ways to multiply time now.
Today, it's called save time, right? Mm-hmm. I can save time in all the things I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a private pilot. I fly a couple of planes. Ultimately, I save time at LAX, right? So I'm buying back time. And then we can add time in the back end through all the conversations on longevity
Sure. We
talked about.
Right, yeah. It's amazing.
If I could, let me tell people the book, my purpose in writing this book was to give people a positive view of the future. Mm-hmm. People fear what they don't understand.
Right.
And I'm in this book, we look at all the exponential technologies, and we look at new business models, and we look at how the world's gonna be changing over the next 20 years. We look at transportation, education, healthcare, entertainment, advertising, insurance, finance, technology, food, all of these areas, and with the purpose of saying, listen, this is what the business models have been, this is where the world is going.
Mm-hmm.
Massive opportunities, right? We're gonna create more wealth in the next 10 years than we have in the entire past century. So we're also gonna transform every single industry. So rather than being fearful of where the world is going, my job here is to lay out to folks. The book's coming out at the end of January, January 28th. If folks are interested in the book, we have an incredible advanced campaign here. People go to futurefasterbook.com. We've got $800 worth of giveaways and benefits. So if you order a copy of the book, for example, you'll get a digital copy of Abundance in Bold, my first two books in addition.
Okay.
Right? And then there's a whole bunch of other things on top of that if you order more than one. But
what's the link again?
It's futurefasterbook.com.
Cool.
And ultimately, my goal is help people fear what they don't understand. People fear as things are changing faster and faster. I want folks to realize, don't be fearful. Feel empowered.
Yeah.
Feel blessed to be alive. Feel the power you have to solve the problems you care about for your kids, for your family, for your species, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Get excited.
Get excited. Yeah, it's an amazing time.
I've got a few final questions for you. With all the opportunities and the technology and the acceleration happening, what's the one single most important skill we should all be developing? Is it to learn the power of storytelling, how to dream bigger, learn Spanish? I mean, what's the skill
I think it's hard for me to pick one ever on anything. I have a disease around that. So I do think, again, understanding what drives you, understanding your passion. Because when you understand your passion, it allows you to focus. If you know what you love, what your purpose is, you see the world differently. If I said there's a fire and you look around the room, you see a fire extinguisher, it has a very different meaning for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're clear about your passion, when you are encountering people, having conversations and so forth, you can pull from them or learn from situations, stuff that feeds your passion, and you'll look for it, you'll self-educate. So that's one thing. Learning the skill of asking great questions is, I think, really important. I think ultimately it's constant self-education. People forget that advanced education, college and graduate school and so forth, isn't one and done.
Mm-hmm.
So 100 years ago, the average male would live into the late 30s.
Really?
38, 39, 40. Yeah, that was average age for men. And so you would go to school, you'd graduate at age 22, and whatever you learned had to last you 18 years.
Wow.
And things didn't move very quickly then. Women fared better, they lived longer. But ultimately, you would have an 18-year run rate. And today, a few years after you graduate, whatever you've learned is out of practice, and it's accelerating. So we have to create a practice of constant self-education.
Mm.
And so whether it's listening to a podcast like this, or whether it's reading, or whether it's Google News alerts, So I've done something in my life, which is I have turned off the news.
Toxic.
It's toxic, right? I mean, I don't need to hear more about impeachment proceedings,
politics,
politics, all of this. At the end, if it's entertainment for you, that's one thing. But people will spend hours consuming the news.
And, living in fear, worrying,
and it drives your mindset is your most valuable asset. Your mindset matters more than anything else. And so if you have a positive mindset about the world, people want to work with you, they want to be with you, you see opportunities. If you've got a scarcity negative mindset, it's debilitating.
Yeah.
And so I don't want some editor of a newspaper or TV radio show to tell me what they think is important. It's like, no, thank you. I will learn the things that are relevant to me. Mm. If there's something that is significant to myself, my family, my social network, the news will come to me. It's not like I'm in danger of not knowing what's going on in the world, but I'll take that extra time and I'll learn.
Right, right. Someone asked me this question last night, and this was one of the last three questions I have. So this, and I'm curious your response. He said, if I've got an envelope that has the date that you're going to die.
Yeah.
At one point, you're going to have to be gone.
Yeah.
Let's just hypothetically say, right?
Yeah.
Even though you don't believe it, you'd extend it forever. Right. But let's just say it's 500 years, it's 5 years, whatever.
Yeah.
And you could choose to open it and know the exact date and time.
Yeah.
Would you open it?
No.
And why not?
Not at all. Because I want to live life driven by different elements and not driven by a fear of death.
Mm. Wouldn't it inspire you to say, okay, well, let me focus my energy and attention on with the time that I have left?
I think so. I just feel ultimately that it's not something that I would want to
do. Got it. Okay. Now, okay, so let's imagine it is your life.
Though there is, I put out a blog every two blogs a week. I just put out a blog about Martine Rothblatt today, who's an amazing woman. She'll be speaking at my Abundance 360 CEO Summit this year. Opened the blog and I said, your daughter, and this is a true story for her, your daughter has just been told, you just learned your daughter has 5 years to live because she has a disease.
Wow.
What do you do? A, do you try and make those 5 years the most comfortable, loving, or B, do you go heads down and cure the disease?
Wow.
Right? And so Martine did the curing approach, did the latter, and actually with no biology background, she was a lawyer in the telecom business, went and found a cure to her daughter's disease.
No way.
And ended up building a $4 billion pharmaceutical company towards that. But
did,
I mean,
did she cure her daughter?
Yeah, she cured her daughter. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
And it's extraordinary. So this is, I mean, the mindset, if I was told, I'm going to tell you when you're likely to die and what you're likely to die from and you have a chance of curing it, solving it,
then
I'm all in. Then I'm like, open the goddamn envelope and I'm gonna pummel the situation into submission, right?
Sure.
Because that's the world we're living in today,
wow,
where if you know a problem, you can ultimately solve it.
That's it. Okay. This is a question I ask everyone at the end called The Three Truths. So imagine this is your last day many, many years from now.
Yeah.
It's the day. You're about to turn the lights off. Yeah. You're 500 years old, right? Let's just imagine.
Okay.
And you have created every piece of content. You've achieved every moonshot. You've written every book you can imagine. You've said it all. You've lived all your dreams. Your kids have, everything's good. But for whatever reason, you have to take all of your work with you. The content, your message, videos, books, it's all gonna go with you to the next realm, wherever you're going. But you get to leave behind three things you know to be true. That this is the message to the world, that they only have these three lessons that you would share with the rest of us. What would be your three truths?
My three truths.
They wouldn't have anything else to have access to your content. It's only these three things that you know to be true the world would have.
The pursuit of truth is one of the most fundamental important things that we are empowered to solve any and all problems, that we are not victims. We are powerful, I will say godlike with a small g, and empowered to transform and solve the world's biggest problems. I think that love is the most powerful force in the universe.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Yeah, I love that. Mm. Well, I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Peter, for your ability to dream and think the way you think, the way you dream, the way you execute on your dreams is inspiring to so many people around the world, and you're transforming a billion lives every single day. So I acknowledge you your gifts, your love, the light that you shine.
I'm grateful.
And your ability to enroll the world and humanity in your vision is really inspiring.
Thank you.
Make sure you guys get the book. The future is faster than you think. You can go to the link.
Yeah,
and get
so it's futurefaster.com, futurefasterbook.com, and there's a whole bunch. I mean, my mission is get this vision out. If you're interested in my work, abundance.digital is my entrepreneur's digital community. A360.com is my CEO community. And ultimately, my goal is really, how do I help people dream bigger, go from success to significance, you know, empower them to transform the world? Because I do believe that, you know, that people focused on problem solving make the world a better place, and we all can. We can stop complaining and we can start solving.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. Final question. What's your definition of greatness?
Playing full out. Playing full out and contributing in a way that leaves the world a better place.
Peter. Thanks, man. Appreciate you, brother.
A pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The future is brighter than you think. And if you are excited about it and learn about the abundance of technology and the abundance of opportunities that you have at your fingertips right now, then you can really manage all the opportunity coming your way. Again, the MTP, Massively Transformative Purpose. Make sure you start establishing this right now. What is your MTP? Make sure to think about it, obsess about it, and make your decisions based on your MTP. Now, if you enjoyed this, the best way you can give back and support the School of Greatness podcast and myself is by sharing it with one friend and texting it to them and saying, hey, check this out and subscribe to the School of Greatness podcast. I think you'll like this. The more you share this out, the more we can grow and impact humanity together. Our mission is to serve humanity. It's a promise of ours to continue to develop and give you world-class insights, interviews, trainings, tools, resources to help you think differently and open you up in ways you maybe never thought before. And it's our promise to support you in living greater, loving deeper, and leaving a legacy for your life. So please share this with a friend and subscribe on the School of Greatness podcast on Apple, on Spotify, and anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. Leave us a review as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts, how this has impacted your life, how it's supported you, what tool or resource you've used, and how it's made a difference in your life. So share with your friends, leave a review over on Apple Podcast if you can, lewishouse.com/881. Make sure to pick up Peter's book. It will support you in figuring out the future and how the future is faster than you think. So make sure to pick that up. And tag Peter as well on your Instagram story as you share this out on social media. The future is coming. It's coming very quickly, my friend. It is happening. Right now is the future, and now, and tomorrow, and next year. Time is passing. Are you preparing yourself, and are you setting your life up and designing your life in a way that you maximize everything you want to create in this life? Are you doing all the things and the strategies to extend the health of your life long term, to optimize your mind, everything that Peter talks about here? You have the power. Eleanor Roosevelt said the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. When was the last time you dreamed? When was the last time you believed in the beauty of your dreams? Every day you should be thinking about your dreams, your MTP. What is it that is going to support you and having a magical life, something that you'll be proud of forever, something you won't have any regrets around? What is it? This is your life. These are your dreams. I want you to have the life of your dreams, but you gotta find the beauty in your dreams. And J. William Fulbright said, we must dare to think unthinkable thoughts. We must learn to explore all the options and possibilities that confront us in a complex and rapidly changing world. I hope you're constantly learning to explore all the options and possibilities in front of you. And I hope this podcast is giving you the guidance and the tools and the accountability every single week to support you in manifesting and creating
the life of your dreams. I love you so very much. I hope you feel the love from this show. I hope you feel the love from my voice. And I get to meet so many of you when I travel around the world. I hope you get to feel the love when you say hello and shake my hand and give me a hug. And as always, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great. We'll be right back.